What's going on, y'all? And welcome back to Double M Live, episode 130.
Hey, yo.
That's a lot of episodes.
130 episodes, man. We've been marching through. We've been pushing through, and it's a blessing to be here. 130 episodes and more to come for sure from Double M.
We are here live in the Sound Lab in this beautiful location. We got some special guests with us, but shout out to Tex. Tex is in the building. What up, Tex?
Yo, what's good? What's good? What's good, everyone?
Always got Mello in the background,
holding it down
as always. But Mike, nice, man. Introduce our guest for us today.
Ooh, this guy right here. I'm telling you, maybe 5-6 years old. That's how far we go back. It's a long time, but my guy Bash is in the building. And I'm so excited to have him here because we've been meaning to do this for a long time. I think a long time ago, back at Bridgewater, he came in for one of our shows that we did. I think it was Double M Sports.
Okay.
I believe it was. You remember? You remember the cover?
That was a long time ago.
That was like 2013.
Five, six, 7 years ago.
Yeah,
I just graduated college, I think.
Yeah. So you came in. But, I mean, a lot has happened. A lot has changed. A lot has gone on. And we're going to get into all of that. But I'm excited to have Bash here in the garage with us here on Double M. Bash, appreciate you being here, my guy.
Appreciate you guys. Welcome. Man. Appreciate you guys having me. This is dope, man. I love what you guys do. You have this platform for our people.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's dope.
Yeah, man. So we're going to dive into a lot. I see you got the bag here on the side here.
I had to bring a little merch.
You got the logo there. You got the logo on the
box. I didn't even peep the feet.
He got the logos there.
I actually just got these today. My guy who he owns this company called iSlide.
Okay.
They're actually located in Hyde Park.
Hometown.
Told me to come through, and his daughter plays at Medfield High. So I've known her. I've seen his daughter play and stuff, so we kind of connected, and he was just gave me some slides today, and I haven't took them off my feet because they're just so comfortable. So shout out to iSlide.
But we're going to get into the logo on the slides. We're going to get into the logo on the bag.
Sure thing.
But before we do that, one thing that, you know, brought us together years ago, and even as we've gotten older, our love for the game of basketball. For those who don't know watching this guy right here, this guy was a legend. Playing basketball with him, coming out of middle school, coming out of high school. I couldn't make the middle school team. I think I was on the B team. This dude was on the A team. And if you know about middle school sports.
It's okay.
We went to Weston, so I wasn't like trying out for the Celtics.
This was the guy right here. He was holding it down, middle school, high school ball. But just quickly talk about, you know, your love for basketball and, you know, how that got started from you and, you know, just what basketball has meant to you, you know, over the years as you've gotten older. And then we're definitely getting to this, too, for sure.
I always loved basketball. It's always been my favorite sport. I'm not sure what got me into it. I know my dad was, you know, a big hoop head. It's crazy. I'm like the only one in my family, even extended family, who actually played basketball.
Wow.
So like my dad was like a park legend. Like he would always tell this story about how he beat Patrick Ewing one-on-one.
What?
But he was like 18. Patrick Ewing was like 13, still like 5'10". You know what I mean? It was one of those, like, I played Patrick Ewing back in my day. It's like, well, did you? You know what I mean? Like, and then Pat Ewing like grew to be like 6'8". My dad didn't want any more smoke. He was we were good there. But I just always watched him when I was a kid. I was obsessed with reading the newspaper and like looking at the stats and following the Celtics, and I was a big Jordan guy. So I just love watching the game, you know, both the men's and women's game. I just always wanted to play, always wanted to be around it. So when I was like a little kid.
How was Mike in ball?
I knew this question was probably coming.
It was weird. Like, I feel like Mike got better like once we graduated high school. So like after like when we needed him to actually play the sport, he stunk.
Facts.
But, like then like as soon as we graduated, we were in men's league and he's like catching dunks. I'm like, yo, where was this like when we needed someone to, you know, do this kind of stuff.
So, shout out to Brockton. Brockton brought the dog out of me when I started playing ball out here. So shout out to Brockton. But
shout out to Mike and the men's league team that we dominated for a couple years back in our prime.
Yeah, that was definitely my coming out party. You was already well known and established. Like, oh, you bringing Bashir to the league? He's gonna play with us. Me, that was my coming out party. My fault. He brought us out, and he definitely helped dominate the league in terms of his ability on the court. And I was just a guy trying to find my way. But the more we dive into basketball, Bash, definitely want to ask you about Her Hoops Network, something that, you know, I've peeped that you've got, you know, off the ground and rolling and continue to build up. You know, I've been watching from afar. I've been really admiring everything that you've been doing. So definitely let's get into the origin of Her Hoops and how it got started and how it got going for you.
I feel him.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Well, first off, I appreciate you guys, you know, showing love, because it's easy, you know, inside like the women's basketball space to kind of like people, you know, appreciating it, see the work you do. Have someone outside looking in who's not affiliated with basketball, women's basketball, the way, you know, me and the players and the parents are. For you guys to be like, oh, this is kind of cool, we want to hear more about it. That's kind of like, you know, always been, when we talk about like kind of growing the game of basketball, whether no matter, you know, what level it is, high school, college, professionally, like that's what, like I look at it, that's what I define it as. It's like people outside who might not be familiar with it wanting to be interested and invested in it. So I appreciate, you know, even being on here to tell the story. Her Hoops Network, I mean, it's pretty much been, it's kind of like a childhood dream that's like weirdly has come to life in like a kind of a random bizarre way. Like when I was a kid, I always, like I said earlier, I was obsessed with basketball, and I was also obsessed with the media side of it. And every morning, and my mom is my witness, every morning before school, I would go run and get the newspaper. This is how old this was back in the day.
The newspaper.
Got the Boston Globe on the front step.
Yep.
And I would always go to the sports page in the comic section. My mother would always be like, you want to hear about the other news? Right. You want to hear? And I'm just like, no, I want to know about the Celtics. I want to know about, like, Garfield. Period. That's it. And, like, but I always would read, like, Jack McMullen's columns and Bob Ryan's columns. I want to be like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm like, I never took school seriously. So I'm just like, yeah, you know, it's like, you know, one of these pipe dreams. But I went to college. I, you know, studied, you know, communications and media. And then once I graduated, you know, I mean, again, like, to get one of those jobs, you got to be like have all types of degrees.
Bro.
It's so competitive. I'm just like, dude, there's no way I'm going to start writing. I mean, I always wrote like just, I would always just kind of write just as a practice, as a hobby, but not just to myself. You know what I mean? Not really to promote it or publicize it. And but once I graduated college, like I got into construction just because I just needed some money. I needed to work. And my dad was in construction for, you know, 30 years, worked for the T. And I was just like, you know what, let me just do this, make some money, because, you know, like, dreams aren't coming true. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, and then the pandemic happened. And I remember I was working at the Seaport. And I remember someone come in saying, we got to leave the job site because of coronavirus. Everyone was like, head down. Mm-hmm. Going to the parking lot. What am I going to do? Damn. Oh, I lost my job. Me? Cartwheels. High fives all around. Get me the hell out this fucking place. Thank God. There was like such a blessing. I'm like, dude, I hated it. I was miserable for like 8 years, bro. Jeez. Doing this. Miserable. I'm like, yo, get me out of here, man. Like, so, like everyone, we just started getting bored. You get bored. You're trying to find something to do. I was like writing. Like, I was watching the Patriots game. This is when we had like Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I would just, after each Patriots game, I would just write. About just about the game. And I was like, you know, I kind of want to find some kind of like just little gig or something just to kind of like, you know, I felt like inspired again.
Yeah.
So I just want to find a little gig. I ended up finding like this small writing gig for this company called Prep Girls Hoops. And it was just like $20 an article. You write on high school players in New England. I was like, this is just be fun. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, you know, make $20 an article. So they ended up calling me, and I was just, they were kind of talking to me. I'm just like, hey, like, what do you want me to do? You want me to write a lot, write a little? He's like, do whatever you want to do. The world is yours. Go ahead. And
nice that
was, and when I heard that, I was like, that's the biggest mistake you're going to make. So I'm going to turn this $20 an article into an empire.
Hey.
That's all I needed was someone to be, like, not dumb enough, but, like, just be so, like, pedestrian enough to be like, oh, yeah, do whatever you want. Because in the back of my mind, I was like, this is it. Mm. This is my time for my dream when I was a kid to pursue. And then I was a guy, I never used social media. I was so isolated. I was, like, an introvert. Like, I was, like... Then once I started writing and started getting Twitter and noticed that, like, the women's basketball community in New England were showing so much love, I'm like, you guys like this stuff? I was like, okay, I'll keep going. And then...
So you were posting on social media?
Yeah, so. I was writing for the website. So the company I was working for was a website. You post on the website to help, like, players get exposure.
Okay, yeah.
Get exposure to colleges. And they were posting my stuff on Twitter and tagged me. I'm just like, because at this point, I didn't really know what Twitter, like... really was used for as a platform. And I was like, this is, like, they like my stuff. And then I ended up going to Chicago in July. So this is like January 2021. This is a long story, but
yeah.
I forgot we was in the studio, bro.
It's a very interesting story. So I'm engaged.
This is January 21 that I kind of started this, and it was July 21. I go to Chicago. My friend was like, hey, do you want to go to Chicago for this big Nike tournament? I was like, hell yeah. I come back from Chicago, and I'm just like, that sucked. It was just boring. I was writing so much, and I was just like, this isn't fun. You know, there's no, it's just like you write, you post, there's no, like, pictures, there's no nothing. There's just like, where's the fun? Like, I want, this should be for, like, basketball and, like, high school sports. It's so stressful. It's so, like, taxing physically and emotionally and mentally for the players, like, this is just, like, adding to – this is so vanilla. Like, it doesn't spark any interest.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's kind of – I saw my work flatlining, and I was like, I got to pivot. And then I was like I need a photographer. I was like, I need to find a photographer to come with me and take pictures so I can, like, enhance my work. So my work doesn't get stale. And at the time, this girl – who actually, at the time she was 15, she from New Hampshire. She played on the AAU team that I was cool with the coach. And she followed me on Instagram. I followed her back. I kind of knew her because I saw her play and stuff. And her name's Juliet. And I saw that her team was posting pictures. And I was like, dude, these pictures are ridiculous. Like, who's taking these? And then when I followed her on Instagram, I saw she had a photo account, and I clicked on it. And it was her taking the pictures. And I was like, this is the kid. I was like, this is a kid who can take my work to the next level. This is the best. This is the most talented kid in New England, period. And I know with her, we can take, I know I can rock it. And I can, like, let's, like, go on and do my own thing. I just needed one person, but I was just like, how am I going to get a 15-year-old to buy in? You know what I mean? So at the time, it was actually around this time, I messaged her, and I was like, hey, like, listen, I know you're in Alabama for your AAU tournament. I want to start my own media site called Her Hoops Network. I just made it up on the spot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, where did the name come from? What was the inspiration?
I just made it up on the spot.
Really?
The logo I came up with, like, in 5 seconds. I made it up. Like, I just think of stuff. I just do it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't.
So when you hit her up, was that the first time you wrote Her Hoops Network?
I was thinking of stuff, but I was just like, you know what? I was just like, I'm going to roll with it. I'm calling her. Because I just had to say something. So I was like, we have to workshop it going down the road. We will, but, like, you know, right now.
And it's not an acronym for nothing. It doesn't, like, it's just literally her.
Her Hoops Network. Okay. I was just like, here we go. And she was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, the photography is, like, my thing. And, you know, this is what I want to do. And I end up driving to Dunbar in New Hampshire to meet her parents. Dude, I drank so much carrot juice that day. Dude, I'm serious. We were just killing carrot juice at the kitchen table. And I was talking
about
the
Husker.
Never had carrot juice?
Dude.
Try it. It's not bad.
I probably have had.
It's not bad. But no, I was just kind of telling like my vision to the parents. They were like, "This is great." And then we went to Maine, shoot an event, we're a hit. Then we just started bringing her to different showcases and stuff. And then that's when I knew. So July 2021. I wasn't really, like, my business yet, but I was like, that's when I knew the countdown started for me cutting ties with the other company.
So
and I was just counting down the days. And then, so.
Throughout this time, you're still just making 20, $20 an article. That's crazy.
Yeah. Because, well, you have to understand, writers don't make a lot of money.
Right.
Freelance
writers
don't make money.
So it's like, for sure.
I was, but when they said do whatever you want, I was like, I'm taking this 20, I'm flipping this. True, like, black person form, too. Like, I'm taking this 20, I'm flipping this for a bag. No, seriously, I'm just like, yo, like, don't, like, again, like, you know, because I know my talent, I know my work.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I started Herb Hoops Network, we started buzzing. They hit me up, was like, hey, you know, what's this Herb Hoops Network thing going on? I'm just like, oh, you know.
Oh, they hit you. They see
it. And this is, that's why I then they brought me on full time. They're like, oh, you can come on us full time? I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I ended up doing, it was kind of nice. You know, you do get to do more stuff, you know, within the company and stuff like that. So it was cool. But at the same time, I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, this is the Herb Hoops Network. We already got to the steps. I got Juliet locked in. I had other kids reaching out being like, once they saw her work, the other kids were just like, I want to take pictures too.
Mm.
And come along. Now I had like one kid, like I'm just big on like if you're talented, like I'll give you a shot. Cause I know how it is when you're talented and you try to get a job, you're trying to get a gig. Yeah. And everyone's like, nah, you're not old enough, you need more. No, you just need talent. I'll prove it to you. I'll take like high school kids and I'll show you that we can rock out and we can transcend the game just as easy as someone with 10 years experience. And that's what we did. And I think last October I left the company I was with.
That's what I was going to ask you. What was that moment where you were like, yeah, I don't need to be a part of press, whatever it was called. I can branch out on my own.
We ran a couple events, and I was a big part of getting kids there. I was a big part of kind of like making sure these events kind of happen, and they just were being a little – I didn't like the way they were rolling.
Mm.
I didn't like the way they were rolling, so I was just like, all right, cool. So I do this thing when I'm not good with working like four people. Like, I'm not good with having a boss. I've noticed that over my years. I tend to kind of, you know, I tend to be a little...
I'm the same way.
Yeah, so I ended up... So after they I got so pissed, I stopped writing.
Oh, you said...
I got a call from CEO, and they were like, oh, your boycott didn't work. I just, it's like, yeah, well, it's like... I don't F with y'all.
Mm.
Like, you want to do me dirty? Okay, cool. They were like, oh, well, you know, then they kind of threw a shot at me talking about I don't impact enough. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Little did they know.
That's cool. Impact this. See you later. Yeah, I'm like, see you later. And I was like, and then, you know, and so then October I left. And again, like, I don't, it's no beef or anything like that. Yeah. Like, they're going to do fine. I'll do fine. But you got to do what's best for yourself. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Everything's, if you're not on the same frequency with people, you kind of have to, like, break away. I think that's fine, you know. But I ended up leaving, and I was like, okay, you know, we don't impact enough. Okay, roger that. I went and created my own site, which launched that November. And then we were kind of off to the races. I was just doing the same thing I was always doing, the writing and stuff like that, but I could be able to do my own thing and kind of dictate, you know, I could dictate everything and not the other way around. People were telling me what to do. I could be like, okay, I'm the captain of my own ship. And
yeah. Listen to your story. It's, first of all, a lot of things you just said is you're downplaying how amazing it really is. We're going to get to that. But listen to your story. I learned along the way that you can go into two paths, how you lead yourself. You can lead yourself into fear. Or you can lead yourself into trust. You talk about how once the construction thing went down, I'm out. Peace. Everyone's like, what the hell am I about to do? I'm golden. You see that things are looking kind of shaky with what you're doing in press. You're like, bet, I'm out. Peace. I know I'm going to be good. You give off a lot of confidence in within yourself and how you're going to go about it. Saying you, not once did you mention with us, and there probably was doubt, but not once have you mentioned with us, yo, I wasn't sure this was going to go through. You've been speaking with a lot of confidence. Where does that come from?
Well, I mean, there is doubt, and there is, I mean, listen, I was scared, you know, when the lockdown happened. I was like, damn, what am I going to do? You know, when I left, you know, the other company, I was like, dang, what am I going to do? But if you surround yourself with the right people, like, sometimes that helps. Like, when I left, you know, to start my own thing, I had one friend in particular. They were like, you know, I'm really intrigued what you're going to do next. Well, everyone was just like, what are you doing? You can't leave. That's right. A big mistake. And this person was just like, nah, like, well, I'm intrigued what you're going to do. And I was, that's all I needed, just to kind of get that spark back. And I was like, all right, cool, we can keep it pushing. But I think where it comes from, I think I get it from my mom. Like, my mom's one of the strongest people I've ever met. And, I mean, she's the queen of just, like, I mean, she's seen some stuff. Or she's been through some stuff.
Move your mic a little.
Oh, she's been through some stuff. She's seen some stuff. And she just always just keeps it pushing. And when you watch that, like, someone that you're, you know, that you're around as much as, like, your mother is, I'm sure you guys are, you know, yeah, tight with your families like that, you know, just, when you see them on a daily basis, you're just, like, it's, like, inspiring. And then it's like, it's also, you also learn from that. You're just like, okay, I gotta, this is the example here. You know, my mother always led by example. And it was really soft-spoken, still soft-spoken, kind of. but no, she always, you know, when things happen, she heads up, keeps it pushing.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's probably where I get it from, where it's just like, I, you know, hey, pandemic happens, we're going to keep walking, we're going to figure it out, you know, lose a job, get a new one, we'll figure it out, you know. So I would say that's probably where it comes from.
That's dope. That's really dope.
That's a great mindset to have. I mean, obviously, yeah, I think when anybody's trying to make moves similar to what you're doing, the doubt is going to be there because, you know, you got to figure stuff out. You want to know how things are going to unfold and what's going to happen next, but... You know, the good thing, a lot of the good thing about what you said is, you know, once you're locked in, you had that determination, you knew nothing was necessarily going to stop you. You're just going to push through it. What you want to do next, you know, picking up the new thing, picking up the next thing that you're interested in. But I definitely want to ask you about, you know, once you finally made that separation and you knew that you were taking on this network on your own, you came up with Her Hoops on the spot. You said you came up with the logo and design on the spot, didn't, you know, think twice and too much about it. Once you had this whole entity as your own now, what did you feel, or how was it separate from what you were doing before? Like, what did you say? Okay, I was doing this before with the press company, but now that I have Her Hoops, this is what we're going to be about. Like, when people ask you, hey, what's Her Hoops Network all about? What do you tell them? Like, what do you sell them on? You know, what is, you know, that opening line that you give people?
Well, my goal first and foremost is to always help kids get to the next level. I think, like, as a someone who played college basketball and knowing how hard it was to get recruited myself, like, you don't know this. I was getting recruited for D1 football. Before I got recruited for basketball.
Really?
Oh, dear.
I had a lot of, because I was athletic.
Yeah, that is true.
So they were like,
you wasn't playing football like
you
that?
You didn't play.
Wait, time out.
You didn't play college, I mean, high school football. He didn't play for the high school.
I would get questions. People were like,
he didn't play for a football team.
People wanted me to play football because they were like, dude, if you play football, you'll be a D1 kid. You'll be a D1 wide receiver. You can go to college for free.
No, this dude, he was a freak athlete.
I get it. I played ball with him once. You probably don't remember. I remember. But you didn't play football once, and you were still getting D1 offers.
Dude, I didn't get offers. I got interest in people.
Interest from D1s.
And because people were just like, hey, like, there's this kid who doesn't get his recruiting's low in basketball, but he's a freak athlete. That's how it would start. So they're just like, go play
crazy
football.
Wow.
See how it goes, and you could be a D1 scholarship level wide receiver.
I surely did not know that.
Go run the field, just right. Jump. Just that guy, you know what I mean? But I never had passion for football. Basketball was my thing, so. But I know how hard it is to get recruited, and, you know, it's so competitive out there, especially in basketball. So my goal is always, like, how can I help a kid get to the next level? So whether it's, you know, through my writing, whether it's through my clinics that I run, through my events, how can I connect them with college coaches and vice versa, and make the recruiting process easier for them? And how can I make it fun? Like I said, like, when I was a kid, it was basketball and comics. So I incorporate the comic side into the basketball stuff. So
yeah, I see that with your posts and stuff.
If you notice my posts, it's never just basketball. I try to make like a pop culture reference. I try to make, because I just think that it's like, okay, how can, like, for the people who don't like basketball,
how can I still catch their eye?
Can I get someone invested in the women's game if you're not a basketball fan? So again, like, I like New Girl, the show. So I told my friend to make a, I told her to make a graphic, a New Girl graphic for new prospects on my radar. And now everyone's just like, that New Girl graphic, you know, like, I love that show. Like, they don't know anything about these girls that I'm talking about, but they'll have a conversation about it. Like, what is this? just because they like New Girl. We had that common interest of just a TV show. So I try to do stuff like that just to make, but also just to make it fun, because it can get kind of boring. It can get stale. So you kind of have to come up with ideas to kind of keep yourself invested.
Yeah.
You
know? So how long now have you been invested or been working around women basketball?
About 2 years now.
About two years.
2 years, 2 and a half.
What can you teach us about just what you've learned and observed through women sports and women basketball that there's maybe a misconception or people don't even really understand?
That's a good question. I like that question a lot.
When it comes to that league, since you're in it every day and you see it.
Super competitive. Just when you watch it up close, seeing some of the, especially when you travel on the road and you see some of the different regions compete, you see the size, the shooting. They can really shoot. And that's one of the skill sets I think they have over men's, is that they can shoot from, they're just more efficient shooters. Because a lot of times, for me, it's like I could just get downhill and jump over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Women's game, you have to be a little more strategic. And that's what makes it fun, because you have to kind of scheme more. It's more of like a, I don't know, it's just more intriguing to watch, I guess, in that sense of just like how, how you have to execute. That's what I'm kind of into. And that's why I always kind of invest into the women's game. I used to watch, as a kid, the WNBA and, NCAA tournament and stuff like that. Just because I'm just a hoop. I'm just a basketball nut. So I'll just watch anything on TV that's, people shooting hoops.
Because we don't really think, I'm surrounded by coaches all the time who have kids. And they talk about, and AAU, they talk about their kids going to AAU tournaments and stuff. And these are all boys leagues. I never even thought about, when you just mentioned Shorty was in Alabama for AAU tournaments, they have that as well. They have their own AAU tournament. Obviously, it doesn't get as highlighted at that age, but it's really interesting to see that, it's just as competitive, just as fiery over there. So that's really dope to see from learning from your perspective.
Sure.
Have you ever thought about expanding to the boys' get side of things?
No, so it's funny. I wrote for a little bit for the boys when I first started, mm-hmm. and they weren't rocking with me.
Oh.
The girls were rocking with me.
Why do you think that was, though?
I mean, my work's not for everybody, so you know what I mean? It's just simple as that. I don't think it was anything, malicious. It's just like some people rock with you, some people don't. Some people like Beyonce, some people don't. Well, Beyonce's not going to perform for people who aren't her fans.
Yeah,
not people who rock with her. So it's just like, that's just kind of like how it goes, and the girls' basketball side, They were really invested in my work, and they showed love. So I was just like, I'll just rock with you guys, and let's keep building this thing. And I just try to help as much as I could.
All right. So here's what I want to do, because I definitely think we could dive much deeper into this conversation and learn a lot more about her hoops. But I think we're gonna take a quick break, and when we get back from the break, we've heard a lot about what's happening right now, but maybe we could dive into what possibly the future could look like for you and her hoops, and what could be coming down the road for you, because I think what you have going on right now is amazing, and there's a lot more that could come. But, Double M's going to take a quick break. When we get back, we got more from Bash, so keep rocking with us and stay tuned.
And we're back. Episode 130, special guest here, Bash from Her Hoop Networks. Man, you've been taking us on a journey. You've been taking us on a journey from the beginning. Then we went to the pandemic. Then I found myself in Chicago. It's been really dope, man. You're a dope storyteller. But now that, let's move into the current times, and her hoop networks. What are we doing now? What is Her Hoops Network all about right now?
I've been running a lot of events and clinics and stuff. Little fun thing about me is that, I never wanted to coach.
Right.
Really?
I'd never been passionate about it. I never wanted to have, I loved the coaching aspect. I just didn't want what came with it, just the responsibility of it. But my clinics, it kind of allows me to kind of scratch that itch to, get a group of kids and, kind of teach them the game. And I'm big on teaching concepts. So a lot of things that I see evaluating from, the bleachers, I'm just like, hey, this is what I see you guys doing, habits you got to pick up. This is how we fix them. So when they get on the road and they're in front of college coaches, they can, because a lot of kids are like, why am I not getting recruited? Well, because as like, you know, you might be talented, but you're just not doing things to separate yourself from all the other competition out there. So I try to emphasize certain concepts throughout the game, through the game, to kind of help them out. And so, but right now, I mean, outside of traveling and just covering, you know, the players on the road, I'm also getting ready for a couple of events, big events. One for incoming eighth graders and freshmen in August, and I got a big one called Jurassic Park in September.
Dope name.
That's what I do. I try to make everything kind of like different. I don't really like, you know, I could just easily call it like the Bash Hoops Fall Showcase. That's boring.
Yeah, you know what you mean.
But you guys are, so you're running all these clinics. You guys are established now. You guys are really getting people to come into these clinics, and I'm guessing you're not the only one doing the coaching as well. You probably have other people.
It's so most.
You gotta talk about it, man. Stop being so humble. We gotta know what's going on.
It's most of it's just me. I know I do all the social media stuff. I'm pretty picky about who I choose. Like, I'll like handpick everybody. Like Juliet, I handpicked. Like my friend. My friend Maddie, my friend Anna, like I handpicked to help them run my clinic, stuff like that.
Nice.
Like, if they can't do it, I'll do it myself. You know what I mean? But I'm always big on just like, hey, like I want to get people involved and stuff. People who supported me, people who are interested in her hoops. I want to keep them engaged and involved if they can. And if they can't, then I'll do it myself. But I do a lot of stuff. Just like, it's funny you said like you guys are established. Like, nah, like most of the time it's just me solo. Mm-hmm. You know, people contribute here and there, but you know, like most of it's kind of a one man show for now. I mean, you know what I mean? It's early on, you know, so
that's incredible.
Do you take note and really see, you know, what having these clinics and, you know, stepping into the coaching role a little bit, do you start to take notice of, you know, the kids really being appreciative of the knowledge and the opportunities that you're providing for them? Because maybe for some of these kids, I don't know, have they ever been to a clinic before? Maybe something brand new to them. Do you really start to take notice of the fact that you're having an impact in terms of providing these opportunities for these kids?
You know, it's one of those things where, like, when I first did them, I was just like, oh, how are these going to go?
Yeah.
You know, these could bomb or these could be really good. And then parents and kids were just like, yeah, we'll do another one. I was like, what? Because I'm, like, naturally negative. So, like, I'm naturally, like, glass half empty. So every time I do something, I'm just like, oh, that sucked. But that's what kind of keeps me going and keeps me, like, bringing out these ideas like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
This idea kind of stinks. Let me try to, you know, go back to the drawing board and do something else. But the kids really liked it. And so it helps me kind of go back to the drawing board and, okay, what can I add? What can I take out to make this a better experience, you know, to make it more challenging, to make it more fun? The kids seem to like it. And I tell whoever works with me, and I tell the kids, if you don't like something, just say it. Right. I don't care if you guys think something sucks. Let me know it sucks so I can make it not suck the next time. Like, I tell Juliet, like, every time we go out, like, you know, after an event, what'd you hate? Who did we hate? You know what I mean? Like, what went? Cause I know we're gonna rock it. I know we're gonna do well. I know your pictures are gonna be fire. We're gonna post. It's gonna be all gravy. But like, what went wrong? What can I do to make this a better experience for you? That's how you grow.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I don't need my ass kissed. I don't need people to tell me I'm great. Like, I know what I bring to the table, so I know if an idea is good and it's going to be a hit, I know when it stinks. I need to just kind of, okay, that wasn't a hit, so let me just kind of, you know, go back to, you know, square one. But, like, I want people to tell me, like, hey, like, you know, and the thing about girls basketball, they'll be honest with you. Oh, they'll let you know when something sucks.
The girls won't hold back.
Oh, yeah, they'll be like, yeah, that was whack. That was corny. But I appreciate it because, again, like, you know, it's about them, you know, so I want to make sure the experience is worthwhile, worth their while. So, like, what do I care, you know what I mean? I'm just providing the platform for them.
It's interesting to hear about because, you know, obviously I do a little coaching on the side, too, and one thing that you just said, especially with the girls, they won't hesitate in letting you know their thoughts and feelings on something that you're doing or a drill or an activity. Like, they won't hold back. You know, fellas are more so just ready to be like, yes, coach, you want us to do this? Okay, like, they might say it behind your back, but the fellas like, yo, that shit was kind of whack. But girls will be like, nah, this ain't it. So I get what you mean a little bit on that side of things. But we could transition a little bit because it sounds like you already see what's kind of in front of you. Like you said, you have Jurassic Park coming up in the fall, you said. But just in terms of more opportunities, more ideas, if you were to just put a map out in front of you and think about what's next, what's coming on later, 2023, what's maybe popping off, you know, to kick off 2024. Because, I mean, obviously, I know for high school basketball, it really gets popping fall, winter time. I mean, when those most high school leagues are going on, but obviously you have different clinics and whatnot going on. But what are some things you may be envisioning, even if you had to dream big? Like, you got something great going on right now. We've established that here in your story and everything. But if you had to dream really big and wild and to see what could happen next, what's some things that you have in mind that aren't out of the realm of possibility, but you reaching for whatever you want to reach for?
Thing about my gig is that, like, I can continue what I'm doing and just kind of improvise as we go along to kind of, like, build it and grow. But if I had to dream big, you know, like, when I started doing these events, you know, like, the most annoying part is trying to find a gym and gym space. You know what I mean? Everyone knows. Like, you try to do anything. Trying to find a venue sucks.
Yeah.
And then, like, when you find a venue, you have to have the documents. You got to pay. And it's just like, God. So I want to open, like, Her Hoops headquarters.
Whew.
Give me a little headquarters. Like, give me like some, like, garage so I can hold a court. Office for, like, my stuff. And I'm good.
I like that.
I mean, you know, talk back to me when, like, you know, in, like, few years and I kind of get some money to do that, but like I just think that having a space to kind of where I can hold events and kids can play and I don't have to worry about, like, you know, trying to rent space or try to, you know, talk to an AD of a school, you know, it's just like,
I like,
you know,
that
so that's probably, I mean I'm just kind of off the top of the dome, so
no, that's cool, that's exactly what we want,
but yeah, that'll probably,
and it's possible, like, I know you said talk to you in a couple of years, and it may seem like it's far fresh, but everything's trending upwards to you, and with the business that you're doing, I know if you start looking into grants, and you know you start looking into all of that, these things aren't impossible. What you're talking about, and the impact that you're making, so you know, keep shooting for that.
No doubt. Yeah. No. I definitely. That's definitely something that I kind of want to invest in going down the road. So it's definitely in the back of my mind. Like, you know, that's always just kind of like a goal. It becomes more clear when I have to keep going from gym to gym.
I know how that can go.
It's tiring.
I know how that can go.
Venues is tiring. Have you seen yourself, you know, now you've been in this really for like 2+ years. How have you grown professionally?
I'm definitely more outspoken, I guess. I'm definitely more personable. I'm just happier. You know what I mean?
Because you're doing something you love.
Like you enjoy. You don't realize how, like, miserable you are until you're happy. It's weird, right?
Like, when you're in the trenches, you don't really
see. Yeah, like again, like, me being construction, and, like, right before I started construction, though, Mike knows this, my dad passed, and you don't realize how much that took a toll on you until, like, you're in a happy space. You're just like, holy shit, like, I was a mess. Mm. Like, you know, all you do is just, you know, go to work, play Call of Duty, you know, gamble, you know, but you know what I mean? Just pick up bad habits. And, like, now I'm, like, in a space where I'm just like, I haven't touched an Xbox controller in, like, 2-3 years.
Gee.
I haven't bet on a sports game in 2-3 years. Like, ever since I started really pursuing, like, and pursuing my dream and finding my happiness, it's just like, dude, I don't need much, you know? And so it's just like, yeah, it's just, you know.
That's dope, man. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah. I love everything I'm hearing and everything you're doing. Obviously, going back long time with you, you know, I'm happy to hear it. I'm proud to see it.
Shout out to New Balance.
Shout out to New. They sponsored y'all. What's the word here? You got New Balance, everything.
I had to sneak that plug in because I noticed we didn't talk about it yet.
Okay. You got the sock. You've been kicking it with Kawhi, bro?
No, I forgot to mention it because, you know, I mean, I was story time with Bash for like, you know, 20 minutes. So New Balance hit me. That's when I knew it was up. Like, when after I hit up Juliet, this is like 21. I get a call from New Balance.
New Balance, okay.
So, but my guy from New Balance goes, you know, I'm looking, you know, hey, are you Bash? Or it was like a text. It was like a group chat or something like that. It was a text. And he got on the call and just like, hey, like, you know, I heard that, you know, were a guy to talk to, like, a, you know, for the women's basketball space. We're trying to, like, link with, you know, the women's, you know, girls basketball AAU programs. You know, New Balance is right in Boston. Mm-hmm. So they're local. Right, cool. And, you know, I was kind of telling about her hoops network. They were like, well, you know, we can, you know, we can partner together and, you know, we can get you a store and kind of, so they.
Mad nonchalant.
Right.
And then I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And I ended up just being like a walking billboard.
That's what's up.
And so.
It's major.
Yeah. And so then.
That's
they
major.
Were, yeah. There's like, all of a sudden, like, I mean, I'm no joke. Like, this is how, like. Like, this is how, like, bummy I was for, like, a good decade. Like, I would only have, like, one pair of sneakers. I would always just go and buy, like, I was always wearing work boots. Mm. I had, like, three pairs of work boots depending on what kind of weather was outside. And I had one pair of sneakers just to kind of rock. It was some pair from, like, you know, DSW, whatever. It was, like, $25. New Balance hit me up. Bro,
you up right
New
now.
New Balance, oh, everything.
Dude, it's like, right, yo, I get, you know, I got the Zach Levines, I got the Kawhi. Wow.
You in you there.
Know, I'm just like, yo, like, I want more sneakers. I want more gear. So I became, you know, big into, like, you know, sneakers. And then they customize all my stuff for, like, my events. They customize all my jerseys for my events. So, like, yeah, did they.
Yeah, show the camera, Mike. Show
yeah, yeah, yeah. We got the bag. I've been waiting for this bag forever.
Yeesh.
I've been waiting for this bag, man, for like a month of Sundays.
That's dope. That's
but really dope. But yeah, no, New Balance. I mean, they have really comfortable basketball kicks. I mean, they're really like invested into the basketball stuff. So it's not just like how it was like back when we were kids, where it was just like old people.
Yeah,
just wore New Balance. They really, you know, they really stepped up their game. So and they're great people. You know, they so I like rocking with them.
Hey.
I'm not gonna tell him no.
No, okay, keep it coming.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many writers like are partnered with like a shoe company?
Nah, man.
I'm like, dude, I'm milking this cow.
You got that in
I'm like, dude, like, yeah, whatever you guys need me to do.
Sooner or later, this dude's gonna tell us. Yeah, dinner with Kawhi at one of their meetings
right,
or something.
Go to one of the New Balances galas.
Yep,
or something.
You're gonna be
like
at a gala with Kawhi,
I'll be
bro.
Hanging with Jack Harlow.
Oh, whoever. I don't know who else who New Balance we got hope, signed like yeah. that, but. Yeah, yo, it's amazing, man. It's amazing everything you got going on. Everything you kind of – it's an interesting story. You kind of took an opportunity that company gave you, and like you said, okay, you going to give me this for $20? Watch what I'm about to do with it. And you spun it. You turned it into your own, and now you're blowing up. You're blowing up with Her Hoops Network, and it's amazing to see. But I got to ask you because, again, I think I was saying this before, we go way back, and I know – the basketball story from way back when, but what is Bash, the basketball player, doing now? I know I try to be in my little men's league and this and that and stay active. What are you doing?
The basketball player?
Yes.
Dude, I stink.
No way. I don't want to hear that.
I can still dunk.
You haven't played in any leagues? No.
I haven't played in a league since the last league, I guess, that we played in, which was like 7 years ago. I mean, I'll play like in the gym and stuff. In my clinics, I'll play.
Okay.
Need an extra, you know, and dude, I be getting cooked.
Well, you can't play with the young kids.
I do, like, dude.
It's not the same no
it's
more.
It's not the same.
I caught like a shoulder from this girl from Turkey. I was guarding her. She was like 6 feet, just like, yo.
What's her name? Helga?
Nah, she was. So she hit me with like she hit me with her shoulder.
He's a Helga.
I knew a girl from Turkey named Helga.
I was like, dude, like I can't do this anymore, man. Like I'm 31.
Yeah,
you know
man.
What I mean? Like, what are we doing? I can't play with these kids anymore. I'm done.
Nah, I feel you. I definitely tried to play ball even with then a couple of days ago, I think I tried to just go play pickup at the Y with a couple of high school kids. Probably one of the worst decisions I made.
You can't do
in 2023.
You can't do it, especially because like, I'm also like a dad. I got a 4-year-old daughter.
Shout out now, to you.
Yeah. She's a peach. she's great. So it's just like, I mean, again, like, it's just like, once you're done, like, I got her, like, you know, Monday through Wednesday every other weekend. Once you're done with her, I just need some time just to chill. I don't need to play basketball, man. Like, it's like, that ages you about, like, 5, 6 years, especially when you're like, doing it by yourself. It's like, dude, it's like, okay, like, it's just, you know, because like, you got to take her out to eat. You got to take her. It's just like, that exhausts you enough. So it's like, I'm good. No more. I don't want to be
around. Still around the game, so
that's it.
It's not like you miss it too much.
That's it, man. You know, it's like I'm there every day.
Understood for sure. We could switch gears just a tad bit before we continue to march through and wrap up this episode. But I know you locked in with everything, her hoops. But I gotta ask you. I know Mar, we're gonna get into this probably a little bit. Your thoughts and feelings on the Boston Celtics. Because we were in high school when they won the last championship. And I remember coming to school that next day, and you, me, a bunch of us in the cafeteria just going, wow, we've seen a couple of championships. We've seen Red Sox 04.
The Patriots.
All the Patriots. All of them. A couple of Patriots, the Celtics 08. But your thoughts and feelings quickly on this current, because we haven't talked basketball in years.
We haven't, yeah.
Your thoughts and feelings on this current era of this Tatum Brown era.
And I mean, again, a negative bash is just it just always comes out. I mean, I was when we were playing the Heat
this year,
yep. We went down 3-0. You have no idea how bad I was rooting for the sweep. I was hoping Jimmy Butler send us home, put us out of our misery, because I knew if we won Game 4, we were gonna force to a Game 7, and those a-holes, we're going to lose in Game 7 at home, because that's who the Celtics always are.
Ah.
That's who they are. They're just going to, like, they're going to get you hooked. And
they got
gonna
me.
Let you down.
They got me bad.
They got me, too. They got me bad. They won me over for, like, a couple seconds. Then Game 7 happened, and then, like, Tatum got hurt.
They got me bad.
And then Brown just couldn't dribble with his left hand. I was just like, this is – these assholes did it again. Like, they just keep doing this. Like, but, like – I do like the Porzingis trade. Marcus Smart had to go.
Okay, so you on that side of things.
You have to change the culture. We're going to keep bringing back the same cast of clowns and expect a different result. You're going to keep losing.
I like this guy.
You're going to keep losing. Like, that's not how, like, it's wild. I mean, again, I know Marcus Smart's.
You didn't think he was part of the core that needed to just build around the core and they could get over the hump?
You know who you say that about? Kevin Garnett, champion. You know who you say that about? Like, even, like, I would say that about, like, I don't, like... Like Draymond Green, champion. A guy who's won 0 rings and has failed every time there's a big moment in the playoffs. What is he like? What has Marcus Smart done? And I like the guy. I like the player.
God, but like, you can't do all that and just say I like the guy. Like,
no. Let him cook.
Let him cook.
No, I like the player. Like, I like what he stands for, what he's about. But it's just like you can't like keep bringing back the same thing because you're not going to trade Tatum or Brown. So who's going to go? Like, that's a significant piece. You're going to get something back in return that's going to make you...
That was
the only thing you could do. Because what do you get for Grant Williams? Like, some pocket lint? You're going to get nothing.
In
order to get someone like Porzingis, you have to trade someone like Marcus Smart or you got to trade Jaylen Brown. And then that would have started the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's just like, either way, we're going to be pissed off because we traded somebody.
Yeah.
It sucks. The state of the Celtics is really really shaky, especially as we record today. This is episode 130. It's been 130 days, and Jaylen Brown still hasn't signed his extension. And anyone who says they think they know what's going on is lying. It doesn't make any sense because it sounded like when the playoffs ended, this was going to be Celtics' number one priority. Just get this extension done. It's going to suck. It's going to be so much money. But we have to lock it in. We are almost in August.
Well, and here's the thing. If you're not going to pay Jaylen Brown, what'd you trade Marcus Smart for? Like, if Jaylen Brown ends up leaving, it's just like, well, just keep Marcus Smart. I don't know the direction, I think. I think my frustration is like, what's the direction? So at first I was like, oh, we're trading Marcus Smart because we want to pay Jaylen Brown. We got to get rid of some money. But now we're kind of like hesitant about Jaylen Brown. So I'm like,
but the thing is, the money had nothing to do with Marcus Smart. Had we traded Brogdon, it would have been because of money.
He's still on the team.
Yeah,
I thought we got rid of him.
Brogdon's on the team. So if Brogdon had left, because Brogdon's the one with the money.
Oh,
Smart was already signed in.
I like Brogdon. I wish he obviously health killed us in the playoffs, but I like Brogdon.
He's fine.
You said he's fine. This is a sixth man of the year.
I like Brogdon when Marcus Smart's on the team because
how'd he look in the playoffs?
He played hurt. That's why a lot of people.
But he's like really slow. When the game speeds up, you watch him. It's just like, dude, like you don't. What are you really giving us? That's like
Brogdon. People are on Brogdon's case right now because he tried to play through a significant arm injury that really hampered him, and obviously. Celtics had opportunity to make it to the finals. He tried to push through and play, but he made the wrong choice, and he should have probably sat. But now that's why I hear the money thing that Marv brought up, obviously, but I think a lot of people have some slight issue with Brogdon because, he didn't perform in the playoffs. I'm like, yo, he played with, one arm.
I just don't like his game. I think his game. I think his game doesn't translate to the playoffs because he's too slow. Like, look how slow his shot is. And if I'm Brogdon, the fan has to be the defender for him to get a shot off in the playoffs. The game's too fast for him.
He has an interesting form.
And then he doesn't really, he's not, a good, distributor. He can defend.
Well, if you ask Marv, Marv believes that the Celtics didn't use him correctly. And I'll let Marv elaborate on that.
I think Celtics used him as a shooter. They used him as a gunner. Well, they should have used him more as a point. When they brought Malcolm Brogdon in, I thought he was going to be the Celtics' primary ball handler. That's all that you would say. You know, Tatum and Brown struggled with turnovers. Now you have Malcolm Brogdon in to really help. Brogdon wasn't used as that. To the point, Brogdon started turning the ball over crazy because he was no longer that guy to bring the ball over up the court. They started just using him as a gunner. As a guy, you have him in the pick and roll, pick and pop. That's what Brogdon became, which was weird.
Well, it
worked for him. He won six men.
Is that different? Yeah, but see, I also think that's on the coach too. I think Mazzulla.
A lot on the coach.
If we had Udoka, if Udoka could just keep it in the pants,
say it all the time.
That nut, seriously, he's gonna have a party in Houston. By the way,
he has a nice little young squad over there.
I know why he. I'm not talking about.
You're talking about a different type of party, bro.
Same reason why Zion said he liked Houston,
and he's trying to get James Harden to get back in to get those two. In Houston, but no, I just think Mazzulla's he's big on just shooting threes, and I think to your point, I think that's probably true that he wants 3-point shooters, he wants to shoot a lot of threes, and I think that's an easy way to die in the NBA, unless you have Steph Curry, and even when you have Steph and Clay, you go up against a LeBron type player or someone like that, that might not always work. So,
well, I'm curious to see what the Celtics continue to do. Last thing I read, I think, as of today as we're recording, is just the fact that, a lot of people felt that Mazzulla was maybe on a hot seat with how the season ended. And according to whatever article I read from whatever Sports Insider, Mazzulla was never on the hot seat. Brad is fully all in on Joe Mazzulla. And I guess Mazzulla in Brad's mind is the next incarnation of him in terms as a coach. Because when Brad coached, all he wanted is space and shooting.
Right, Brad's going to find himself out of Boston if he has that mentality.
Literally, the article that I read said Brad sees himself in Joe Mazzulla where all he wants the team to really do is focus on spacing and shooting, not too much on defense, but more so spacing and shooting with the offense. And I read that, and I'm like you just said, if that's really the mindset that he's trying to bring to this team – not everybody's a Steph Curry in the Golden State Warriors. It doesn't always work like that.
But I want to know, what does Jason Tatum think? Because I'm sorry, in the NBA, it's not about the coach or the GM. It's about what does the best player think. We're trying to keep him happy. He's the guy who's going to leave.
You're a little soft. I'm not too worried about Jason Tatum. Throw him a little bread. He'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what my thing is. Does Jason Tatum, if Jason Tatum's I love Mazzulla, he's my guy, keep Mazzulla. Keep Tatum happy, because if Tatum leaves, we're screwed. So we got. Tatum to me, he's frustrating, but he's still a top five ish player in the league.
Which is crazy.
He lacking a little something for me. This instinct from Jason Tatum.
Talent wise,
oh, he's talented.
How many 6'9" guys can just pull up.
Talent-wise, he can be the best player. He has the best player in the world talent.
So we got to kind of just, like, it's frustrating. Trust me, it's frustrating. But at the same time, it's like, well, who else are we going to get? Like, we kind of got the guy. So it's like, to the point where we're thinking about not paying Jaylen Brown because we're just like, well, we have Tatum. And we have Porzingis. You know what I mean? That's probably what they're thinking is just like, well, if we lose Brown, like, we'll just get a couple pieces and we hope Tatum takes, you know what I mean?
If they're smart,
I think.
You know they don't
I
mean? Lose
I
Brown.
Think they just
the,
got
thing, the thing is, Brown's not going anywhere this year. Regardless of what happens with this extension or anything, Brown is still locked in for this year.
It hold an ugly cloud over the season.
It's going to make it awkward. It's going to be an awkward season.
Yeah. They got to try to handle that
situation. It's going to be a very awkward season. I mean, they have till October. This should have never been going on. But if Brown doesn't get his extension, he's still a Celtic this year. And all year, especially Boston media, it's going to be that Kevin Durant situation when his last year in Golden State.
What you doing? What's about to happen?
You think if the Celtics win this year, he'll stay?
If the Celtics were to pull out a championship.
Without the extension? And so if Jaylen Brown doesn't get the extension, he has to play out this year, and the Celtics win, will he stay? It's a great question.
I'd still be 50-50 because now he got the chip. So even if right now he has an idea of, do I want to stay in Boston, do I want to go? If he were to get the championship,
and now he plays well.
And he plays well. Now he could be like, well, I don't necessarily – I got the chip. Now I could just go to where I necessarily want to go.
And all of a sudden Celtics don't necessarily – or not necessarily the team that can pay him the most anymore.
Yeah. It's a scary situation, which is why to avoid the headache – the Celtics should do whatever they can to lock him. I know the people like, oh, because whatever type of incentives that can go into the deal, they're talking like he can make like his contract can be like 4 or 5 years, $300 million, something like that.
He'll be the highest paid basketball player.
Yeah, and you know with Boston sports and just the teams, they're never trying to pay anybody no stupid amount of money. Not the football team, not the baseball team.
Don't get me going on the Patriots.
Like, they're never trying to overpay for anybody. They think they don't need that in Boston. We just find guys who are tough and gritty and they'll make it work. So that's just the thing with Boston sports. But
I mean, Jaylen Brown deserves the money.
I think he does as well.
I hope he gets it. However, if he does get it, which I still believe he will, Jaylen Brown will become the most criticized player in the NBA. The way everyone looks at Jaylen Brown's outlook will change completely because now he's the target. He's the most highest player paid. Any type of turnover, everything gets magnified in the regular season. It changes for Jaylen Brown all of a sudden once he gets that money. So I hope he's prepared for it because he's not a $300 million player.
Nah.
But he's going to be viewed as it. And that's going to be tough to be a second, to be the second best player on the team, and you don't perform every day and night.
Which is crazy because he'll get that contract, but the thing is, come this time next year, Tatum about to get the same thing and even more. So you're going to be under that microscope for a year, gets the money, and then next year Tatum going to be the highest paid, and then now you got two of the most highest paid players in the league. So
but it'll even out because I think just everyone
years later,
everyone will kind of get the same. True, you know what I mean? It's just their time just came differently than you know the other superstars.
But it's rare that the second best player. Yeah. On any team is the most highest paid player in the league.
Why do you think that is?
It's just how it happened. Perfect timing. He became got the All NBA at the right time. So the Celtics, out of any team, can pay him the most, which is the only leverage the Celtics have to keep him. Is we can pay you more than any other team right now.
All right, here's what I want to do before we wrap things up. I don't know if we did this. We haven't done this in a while, Marble.
It's been a minute, dog.
We're about to bring it back. We're about to put you on. You already on the hot seat, but we're about to turn the heat up just a little bit more.
Oh, God.
Rapid fire questions.
Oh, man.
We need answers from you. Bang, 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 just like that.
Just to give you a warning, I'm like the worst at this game, but go ahead.
Hey, man.
I'm brutal.
Got to be quick on your toes, man.
I'll give it a go.
If you could leave here and have the greatest dessert ever right now, what would you eat?
Vanilla bean cheesecake.
Vanilla bean cheesecake. Okay, interesting.
That was specific.
Never had it.
Fuck, bro.
I got to be quick.
Never had it.
Specific as hell.
It just came to my
For
head.
For someone who's bad at this game, that was a specific ass answer.
He knows what he likes.
This is a life of bash. It comes to my head, I just write it down.
All right.
You know?
Favorite basketball player growing up?
Oof. MJ.
MJ, okay. I like that. Favorite artist to listen to when shooting around, working out, whatever the case may be. Artist, song, with either one.
Oh, Kevin Gates.
Kevin Gates is
he gets me going. He gets me going.
That's a different one.
There's one in the mini, but that's the first one that came to mind. Okay. Kevin Gates.
All right.
Early bird, late night.
Late night. I won't go to bed till like 2-3 in the morning. Just up. I suck at sleeping. The worst at sleeping.
Okay. Let's see here. If you could vacation anywhere in the world, a place that you've never been to before, where would you go?
That I never been to? Somewhere in Europe. Well, one of those places that everyone always like puts on Instagram for vacationing. It looks fun. It's always somewhere in Europe. I never know this, like the country, but like maybe I don't know, Italy, France.
Italy, yeah. I got Italy France on my list.
France is beautiful. Yeah,
one of those.
In 5 years, Her Hoops Networks will be
still popping, still fun, still alive and kicking.
All right, this might be a tough one. This one might be the one that holds you up a little bit. But I always got to ask this. Dinner for five, dead or alive, who's sitting at that table with you? Famous person, not a famous person, don't matter who it is, anybody. Dinner for five.
Dinner for five. Okay, so they have to be funny.
Anybody you want.
Zooey Deschanel from New Girl. She's hilarious.
Okay.
yeah, I got, you know, a little, you know, something different. Man.
She's in the Marvel movies, too. Is that the one?
I know she's just a New Girl.
I don't think she's in the Marvel movies. I think you're thinking of someone else.
You think of the one in Iron Man. And all. That's okay. That's all right.
Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
The guy's the man. He'll take some attention off, you know, off of.
I was about to say, table. That's the handsomest man alive. Yeah, he's dangerous, bro.
He can take all the attention. Let me see. This is a tough one.
I always get his question out. Anybody, don't matter who.
I know. I'm trying to think.
Got him stumped here. Got him stumped.
Yep. Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett.
I think Kevin Garnett's like one of the most hilarious people ever. Is he just so angry or like, I don't know, his storytelling is just like, I like see him on like Instagram reels. I'm just like, this guy's a nut. I feel like he's good for a couple of good stories at the table.
Okay. Kevin Garnett would be dope.
Two more seats.
Literally, like any gossipy like mom in the women's basketball world.
Any gossipy mom in the
like one of the kids' parents, like moms.
Okay,
because they always have some tea. I love good tea. So just any one of them, just sit on down with Bash.
Last one.
And man, this is that's I have like a wild table right now.
Very, yeah, you all over the place. Yeah,
this table.
Garnett gonna scare some people away.
Yeah, good, but I mean, he's gonna be electric.
Last seat. Dang.
I'm trying to think. Who?
Maybe it's a family member.
Family member, famous person, athlete. Somebody who maybe inspires you. Somebody's been a mentor.
Kevin Gates.
Oh my god, that guy's out of pocket. That guy's so out of pocket. Like I can't. Yeah.
That's someone who's scared.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, if you want to keep it a four, you can keep it a four.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really, you know. Yeah, I'm not schmoozing at the tables. That really my thing. So I can't remember.
So you want to
but I mean, I don't know. Just, you know, Yeah, I got nothing.
You want to keep it to those four?
Keep it to four.
Okay, those four. Those four will do.
That's a very, very interesting.
Yeah,
very
interesting. You got stuff from all over the place at that table. But yeah, what else? You got anything left?
Nah, we could wrap up. Hey man, we had a dragonfly in studio.
Yeah, and that nigga's still here.
It did well.
The dragonfly's back. It was on his back.
It did well. It did well. It was sleep.
We wrapping up? Or are we wrapping up? Yeah. Okay, boys.
It did well here. So I don't have any last questions, but just to wrap up, just wanted to say, yo, your story's super dope. I think the best part about what you said and what remarked me the most is you giving opportunity to the kids. Like, you hitting up that 15-year-old girl and saying, yo, you're going to be my photographer. You got it. You know, people will probably look at for someone who's super established, or you giving chances to kids all over to really, you know, put themselves out there. I think that's probably the dopest thing out of all of it. So it's been really dope sitting here on Double M with you, and I'm really excited to see how far her Hoop Networks goes.
I appreciate you guys having me. This was great. Glad you guys had me on. You know, I'll just plug my socials.
Absolutely.
At Bash Hoops NE on Twitter and Instagram, at Her Hoops Network on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us. We got some good stuff going on. So just keep things going and
Yeah, man, I'm proud of you, B, for sure. Again, we've been rocking with each other for years now. I mean, obviously, everybody has things going on in their lives, but to see what you started and what you got going on, what you created, you know, following you from afar, and then obviously having a chance to have you sit down here with us just to hear the story more in depth is beautiful to hear, beautiful to listen to, and I love it. And I'm just telling you, man, keep pushing forward. Keep grinding. Keep doing whatever you got to do to just take things to the next level, because you got it going on right now for sure. And it's great to see one of my bros from way back in the day come all this way, because I know we know what we've been through, going through the years and the Metco and the bus rides. And
oh, yeah.
People don't remember, bro. We was holding it down at high school as the student body co-presidents, and we was clowns, and we was just having a wild time at high school.
I can't believe they voted for us. They let that happen?
The kids voted for us. The teachers couldn't stand us.
We didn't show up to anything. Every meeting.
Grades was terrible.
we didn't show up. We didn't do anything.
The teachers hated us, but we was just entertaining, kids...
People just... It was a popularity contest.
Literally. Because I remember being at the meetings and assemblies, and you could just see in the teachers' faces, they despised the fact that we had the role, but the kids, all the students was rocking with us, so they couldn't really do nothing about it, but it was good time running those hallways with my guy right here. But yeah, man, appreciate you for sure. 130, Marv.
130 here at the Sound Lab, man. Shout out to Mello. Thank you for having us here at the Sound Lab. Shout out to Texas in the building here.
Of course.
Mr. Mike Nice.
Boy.
DJ Mies. Bash as our special guest. This is Double M Live. And we too, the moon.
The moon.